My name is Eva Marlowe, and I'm the producer and director of All the Wild Horses, which we have just brought to the Aspen Film Festival and to Carbondale.
This film is really a dream come true for you. Talk about that.
It is, yeah. I grew up on a horse farm, and I kind of learned to ride horses before I could even ride a bicycle or anything like that. So from when I was really small, I always had this dream to go to Mongolia one day. And my mom always gave me kind of books on Genghis Khan, all that. So yeah, from when I was a little boy, I was dreaming one day to be riding in Mongolia. But then, you know, stuff happened, life happened. I became a screenwriter, and that was my job. And then 4 years ago, I found out about this race, which is now only 8 years old. And I decided I needed to do this because this basically was everything that I always dreamed of as a kid. So I applied to ride the race. That was my whole idea. I just wanted to ride it and hopefully win it. And then the amount of trouble you have to go through to actually get accepted in the race kind of makes it quite clear that this once-in-a-lifetime thing, you're not going to probably ever do that again. And so when I got to that stage and they accepted me, so you get tested as a rider and you have to be good enough to ride those horses and all that stuff. So once I got accepted, I thought I need to somehow actually film this because this is my background, it's my day job. And so I started small. I just wanted to kind of maybe record it for myself, and then I thought that'll be boring, basically. And so I kind of became a filmmaker again. I thought, okay, I'm going to try and raise funding to bring a crew over, just a small crew, and so we can film the whole thing. And I'll still ride it, but I'll ride it with the camera, and we'll have another crew filming the rest, and then we'll put it together like that.
It actually took you two trips to the Derby to complete the film.
Yeah,
right. Did you ride in both races?
I did, yeah. So I rode the first time, and consciously, obviously, I did sort of compete, but not really, because I was on the job. So I was with camera, with sound recording equipment, and I was always kind of staying with groups and, you know, not necessarily with the fastest ones, because I was staying with the people that I thought would be interesting as characters. And so I did that and kind of finished the race like that. And the crew that I brought over, they filmed the other stories. But then when we finally got together in the end, after 7 days, we hadn't really talked because there's no network for cell reception or anything. So when we finally got talking, we kind of compared notes and stories, and we realized that probably not all of it will work out, because a lot of the stories just kind of, they just disappear. People just kind of fall flat, because once the race starts, after like kind of day two, the field of riders spreads out so far that it's impossible to track them. They're like 100-150 miles apart in the end. And so then what happened, I went into the edit for the film and spent a couple of months or something, and then realized that, yeah, that a lot of the good stories just didn't quite finish or work out. And so that means kind of you don't really have a proper film. And so then I found out about other people riding the next year, and one of them was this black horse whisperer from South Africa.
That's Monday.
That's Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And he had never been out of the country, never been on a plane, never been in a hotel, never been anywhere. And the amazing thing about him was that his whole community in his village, they all kind of pooled together to send him to Mongolia because they knew how good he was and they knew he'd have a chance of winning it. And I thought that was just an amazing story. And so I thought, yeah, that'd be worth going back to and filming him.
Right.
So I connected with him, and he was fine with that. He was fine with me riding with him and filming him. Mm-hmm. And so we both together went the next year. And again, I filmed the whole race again, just with him as the main character. The next year edit, we kind of finished the film off after that.
Well, I wanted to talk briefly about the actual race itself. I mean, the film is about the Mongol Derby. It's a 1,000-kilometer race of international riders across Mongolia on Mongolian wild horses. And it got its start as Genghis Khan's Pony Express.
The idea is the same. So basically, you have horse stations around every 30 miles. And so every 30 miles, there's a family, a nomad family, with a big herd of horses, of about 80 horses. And because they're kept fairly wild all year round, they move long distances every day. So they're really fit just by the way they're kept already. But they are very unruly and rarely ridden. So a lot of the times I think we were riding horses that maybe even ridden once or maybe twice. Yes, that came straight from this postal express that they used to have, basically. And it was also in the Genghis Khan army, basically. That's how they kind of moved very quickly across vast distances. And the Adventurers, which is a company in England, they kind of found out about it because there was a Mongolian friend of theirs, and she and her grandfather were still involved with those horse stations in, you know, like 80 years ago. So they kind of decided that would be an amazing horse race to have. It'd be something completely unique that you can't put on anywhere in the world, because there's probably no other country in the world where there are enough horses to do this. I mean, I can only think of maybe somewhere in Argentina or maybe Iceland. And I think the only other thing people have thought about is to do this with Mustangs in the West, basically. But Mustangs are a lot wilder, and it's a lot harder to kind of get them into a state where you can actually ride them for 30 miles. So that's kind of how the race happens. And then the rules are, it's very strict.
We just have a few minutes left. And, you know, I found it nerve-wracking that no one knew which horse or what kind of temperament their next horse would have. The riders got a completely new horse at each rest station.
Yeah. So every about 3 hours, 2.5 to 3 hours, you get a completely new horse. So the key really to ride this successfully is to really know about horses. You have to be a good horseman to do this. And I'm not even talking about being the most amazing endurance rider, because you can be an amazing endurance rider on your own horse, because you know that and that's it. And that's a totally different thing, because you are on the horses that you know. And here, you need to really suss out the horses. You have a lineup of, say, 40 horses, and you need to pick one that you think will deliver you safely to the next horse station. And because if you don't, then you get backed off somewhere in the middle, and then suddenly you're there on your own, no horse, and then you have to walk for like 30 miles. Or you get injured, and then that's obviously even worse. So the key is really to pick wisely, not necessarily the fastest, but also the sanest horse. And then the second thing you do is you get the local herder to sit on the horse and ride around in a circle. And, you know, and then if you're a good horseman, if you know about horses, you will know if that horse is sane or not. You understand that very quickly, really. And so that's the key. And then the third thing is, after they get on, then you get on, and you'll see how you get on with the horse. And for me, and I think for everyone who knows horses and who's a horseman, you know every horse has a personality, and they know you have a personality, and they'll understand that. And so you can kind of click, or you don't. But even if you don't, then you know that very quickly, and then you'll decide maybe you want to take that horse after all.
It's a really fascinating film, and I'd love to talk details, but I don't want to spoil it for people. The characters in it, the people whose stories you followed are amazing. I mean, all of them are. But, you know, I wanted to just talk really quickly about my favorite scene straight up is the one with the wild Bactrian camels. That was wonderful. Can you talk a little bit about the wildlife of the Mongolian steppe?
I'm really pleased you're saying that. Basically, that scene for me was, it was kind of like, I just wanted something in there that, because we experienced that, it was just amazing. We kind of rounded the corner around the hill, and suddenly there was this big herd of camels, and they're really big. You know, they're large animals. They're bigger than the horses. And what I found really funny is that my horse that I was riding at the time was getting really freaked out by those camels. And I was talking to the horse, being like, you shouldn't be freaked out. I should be freaked out about this. You should know these guys. Anyway, and then we kind of got quite close to them. And yeah, they live all over Mongolia in herds. And a lot of them are equally kind of half wild. So some of them are kept as livestock. And then, but they still live in their herds, and the herds are often kind of wild herds, really. Yeah, and but further west, and not where we were there, but further west in Mongolia, they ride them a lot more too. But in that area, they actually just kind of roam free, more or less. They're also very much part of the Mongolian livestock. So they have camels, they have horses, they have goats and sheep, obviously, and then sometimes, rarely, they have cows too. But cows are normally not hard enough to stand the climate, really, in winter.
There are wolves
and
there,
and
too.
Then, apart from that, the wildlife. So there's wolves. There's a lot of wolves. We saw quite a few, and even though in summer you rarely see them, really. But, yeah, wolves around, and they come quite close because they... you know, they go for the foals and they go for the sheep and stuff. We have a little story in the film about a wolf that kind of follows one of the characters around. And that was really fascinating, I thought, because we, in the end, got to film that wolf kind of hanging out. And we kind of called him kind of like a guardian angel for that rider.
Right.
Then there's bears and then there's... wild dogs and everything. So it's you've got to be on your feet.
Yes. Ivo Marlow, director and filmmaker, will be in Aspen next week to talk about his film All the Wild Horses. I want to thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me. It's a great film.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Amy.
Thanks a lot.